Who's got the microphone? Who's got the biggest voice in this world? The lewd and the baser element. The people who give in to their impulses and their sinful natures and they're proud of it. The people who have no problem either being too brutish, too inappropriate, or just too undressed. And when I think of that word lewd, I think of like a Jerry Springer type situation. When I think baser, I think the people who are destructive everywhere they go and just ruin and tear things up. These are the people that, it's these kind of people who will sit there in an aquarium and throw coins and things into the aquarium to see if they can get the fish to eat something they're not supposed to eat. You know what I mean? I used to know a guy who, when we were kids, liked to spit in the water. And then when he grew up, we went to Cabela's. And he spit in the water at Cabela's where they have those little things swimming. I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Those kind of people. So oftentimes we see, well, what's wrong with people that this is going on? What's wrong with people that that's going on? Right? What was that somebody brought up? I was reading this. Somebody used this as an illustration. Remember that song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, that Christmas one? Now, I think it's an inappropriate song. It's always been an inappropriate song, but whatever. But then that same year that we were condemning that song, there was this grotesque, overly, I'll just use the phrase, pornographic song by a pop artist that was charting number one, that went into grotesque details. And that was the number one song in America. I mean, think about that. Think about that. That's the world we're in. Why? Because that's how the devil handles God's people and our presence. Let's make the foolish. Let's make the overtly sexual and disgusting things. Let's make the impulsive things the number one deal. Let's make not working popular. Let's make not taking care of yourselves popular. Let's make giving in popular. Sad. There will be those who refuse to listen, and in doing so, yes, of course, there will be a reaction. Some folks will not like the things of God. Jesus promised us they're not going to like it. Some folks don't like the light being turned on. Some folks don't like being held to any sort of standard, so they pretend that any kind of standard is prejudicial, any kind of standard is wrong. I got into an argument with somebody who used to be a teacher in the Detroit public schools. Back when this whole holding kids accountable, like giving bad grades for, how was it? Basically came down to math is racist because there's always a solid answer. And grading people on giving a solid answer instead of looking at their work was racist. And I looked at him and go, how racist do you have to be to think that you have to give special accreditation to people of a specific color because they're less intelligent? Like, you do hear that that's what you're saying, right? No, it's just rough to hold them to that standard. What? Imagine you're going into a restaurant. Right? For those of you, let's say over the age of 65, if you're old enough to get the senior discount, and you look like you're old enough to get the senior discount, and you walk through and they say, sir, would you like a wheelchair? All right, come on, Grant, come on. I'll walk slow for you. That would insult you, wouldn't it? And then they sit you down in the chair. Is this comfortable? Okay, now what we like to do sometimes with our older crowd is we like to strap you guys to the chair just in case. Okay, now if you know how to go to the bathroom, ring the bell. You'd feel bad, right? And then your meal comes, and they went ahead and put it in the food processor for you. And put a big old bib on you. You'd be insulted, you'd get up, you'd walk out of the way, and someone might get hit. Right? Now imagine being a child of any other ethnicity than American and these good-hearted liberals bring you in and say, all right, now we know you're a little less caught up with everybody, So we're going to give you a special grading system. I would be insulted. And these children of ethnicities not American should feel insulted. And we as adults should know better. But why do we do it? Why do we do it? So we can feel good about ourselves? So we can lift ourselves up and put others down? What is that? That's the baser sort. We've let the baser sort start running the country. We've let the fools and the nonsense going on. We're knocking on the door of a civil war down there in Texas. Why? Because we've got fools running the place up here in our government. Well, we should let them in. Well, we shouldn't let them in. Well, if we don't let them in, they'll die. Well, what was it that the whole thing that changed? Well, people were coming and they were coming across the river and they were drowning in the water and we can't have them drown in the water. Here's an idea. What if we tell them that the water will kill them? Don't cross it. That makes it their responsibility, right? Not only are we going to turn you back if you come in illegally, but you could die in the process. See this land? There be snakes. See this land? There be criminals and bandits. You see this land over here? It's treacherous. You see these elements? The hot, hot sun and the cold, cold nights? Not good for traveling by foot. You'll die. And then that's their fault. Don't come here. You want to come here? There's a big door to come through. Quit trying to sneak. We would do that. No. What do we have? The baser sort. Well, if we don't give people what they want, we don't allow them to break the rules, they'll get hurt in the process of breaking the rules. And that's what the devil wants. We can't have rules. People will hurt themselves on them. It'll make people sad. It'll upset them. Do you not see that that's the biggest reason why we need to preach the truth? That's the biggest reason why. Why are these guys so upset? Let's read a little bit more as to why these guys are so upset. Verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Here's what their problem is. They liked the way things were. They like being able to go down to the corner and get high. They like getting wasted. Alcohol, a class 4 narcotic. We only allow it to be legal because the amount of money our politicians get to keep it legal. Don't listen to the nonsense. Well, back in Prohibition, people were making it out of their tubs, so they started to die. So we had to change the law so people would stop dying. That's a lie! I'll tell you this. What happened was a certain number was agreed upon. That's what changed it. A certain number was agreed upon. The gangsters turned legitimate and they were able to manipulate their way back into legality. That's what happened. You look into some of these leaders and some of these founders of the common liquor market today, and I'm telling you where they came from. We need to do better. And how do we do better? We preach the gospel. They don't like that this is what a man is. They don't like that this is what a woman is. They don't like what this is what a marriage is. They don't like this is what you ought not to do and what you should do. They don't like it! But we don't change the rules because the rules make people sad. The rules are there for a reason. And not just because we like to be a bummer. We didn't write them at all. They belong to God. And there are real life consequences. Consequences we still haven't found our way around yet. How do we keep liquor illegal in our country and yet justify that against the broken homes, the broken bones, and the car wrecks that we see every year? I wonder how many people are going to get in a car wreck tonight because of alcohol in their system. I wonder how many people aren't going to make it home tonight because of drugs in their system that we shouldn't have legalized. I wonder how many marriages are falling apart because we refuse to follow God's directives for our lives. How many children will get hurt in the process? We cannot think that it is a politician's job to secure the morality and safety of the people. The only way for people to be safe, the only way for people's consciences to be healed and to be changed, is for the Lord to save them. And for them to be convinced of the wrong in the sin. They have to be convinced of it. But I would even say this, no matter how hard you try to convince people, they just don't get it. When you, I know driver's training was different, but when I went through driver's training, we had to watch a movie called Red Asphalt. And I think we might have been on Red Asphalt 2 or 3 or something like that. I don't know. But if you've ever seen that, basically it's live footage of the after effects of car wrecks because people did certain things. This is what it looks like when you stick your foot out the window and you get into a car wreck. This is what happens if your feet are on the dash in a car wreck. This is what happens if you don't wear your seatbelt in a car wreck. And basically it was a horror story played out for about 45 minutes to turn your stomach, to scare you into being a safe driver. And yet, a significant amount of people still get into horrific car accidents because they didn't listen to that video. And we're talking blood on the ground. They were showing some horrendous things. I won't go into one of the things, but they were literally scooping something up off the ground a guy lost and putting it into a bag. And yet, people in our class no doubt have been arrested or hurt doing the things they weren't supposed to do. We get the warnings. And people don't listen. We had this program back in the 90s called the DARE program. I can't remember what it was. It was an acronym. I can't remember exactly what all the words were. See how well the program worked. And every kid had to go through the DARE program where they educated us on what drugs and alcohol does to you and what it can do to your life and the terrible things that could happen. And I'll tell you now, the majority of my class that graduated were hooked on drugs, not just but a few years after that. You warn people all day, but until God changes the heart and the mind, the sin nature will win. We're saved and the sin nature still wins. We make bad decisions and there's people out there that love it. Look at his complaint. You see, those people who turned the world upside down, they're here and Jason let them into their house. And they're sitting there, they've got them all bound up with these lewd people, these baser people, got them all wrapped up. Yeah, these people, and they think that there's another king other than you, and that's that Jesus guy. Take them. They were upset. Why? Because they liked it. The people in Sodom loved what they were doing. They didn't care about the young people that were getting assaulted. They didn't care about the long-term effects of what they were doing. They didn't care about a God in heaven looking down on them. They just wanted what they wanted. And we try to come up with scientific mumbo-jumbo to justify the things that people want. And we try to come up with psychological babble to back up giving people what they want. But in the end, a baser thing is baser for a reason. It's less. It's disastrous sometimes. There's a reason why we look down on lewd things, because it leads to destruction and disaster. I was telling our Sunday school class, we went to that arcade. And I tell you what, you had people going from the swimming area in their bathing suits, running out into the arcade area. And I'm sitting there, and there was a dad there with his daughter, 10, 11 years old. I'm just looking at him. I wanted to go over and choke him. Haven't you picked up a newspaper since the 80s? Why would you let your daughter run around like that with all these creeps out here? And I sat there, I fought for a good, probably the entire time he was around me, a good 20 minutes, going over and asking him if there was a cell broken in his brain. And if he'd like me to help him fix it. It's a mess. You let your kids wander around the town like that. Well, it's their right to freely express themselves. What are they expressing? And what's wrong with you that you're okay with them being treated like bait? It's sick. The world likes it that way. They like it. And they look at us like we're crazy for being upset by it. And then something bad happens and they go, oh, why? You allowed every situation for that to happen. You opened the door. You see, we were talking about this at the coffee fellowship. That kid that went to the school and shot the school up. They sentenced the mom for involuntary manslaughter for every one of those that the kid killed. Found her guilty for it. I don't think they sentenced her yet. They found her guilty. Did you know that the morning that that guy went and killed his classmates, did you know that morning mom and dad were in the school office? And did you know that they said, well, we got better things to do. We can't take the kid home right now. Let him stay there. Meaning the entire time they're having this conference, that kid had a loaded gun in his backpack, and mom and dad are there because he's making threats, and they didn't stop to think for a second where the gun was. No one thought to check the kid's bag. Not the school, not mom and dad, nobody. So when I see things like that, my eyes go to mom and dad. Now that kid ought to get every year of his sentence. And probably more. But mom and dad ought to know better. It took me a while to come to that conclusion, but mom and dad should have looked into that kid's bag. The principal ought to check that kid's bag. What's he doing? Oh, he's drawing pictures of shooting people in school. Well, you probably should check his backpack, shouldn't you? Oh, no, he has his rights. Oh, no, we don't want to invade his privacy. I made it clear in my house, as long as you're in my house, you don't have privacy. I'll be a good parent. You close door. You're changing, close your door. You're changing, you're doing whatever. Close your door. But there's no expectation of privacy in the house. If I smell something bad's going on, I'm going to go and take a look. And your privacy can just hang on. Now, when my kids grow up and they go over to their house, privacy all day. Because you're paying the bills. Right? I tell you what. The world likes to give freedoms. Why? Well, if you can sin, I can sin, we can sin. And we'll just pretend it's not a problem. They threw this poor guy Jason under the bus. They went to his house trying to find Paul and Silas. They didn't find Paul and Silas. They drug this guy in. Look, these people who have turned the world upside down. To them, biblical order was the world upside down. But to us, that's the way God designed it to be from the first. It's not upside down. It's just been upside down so long you thought it was upside right. We've gotten our priorities as a society so backwards, we think that we're doing something awful just to go back to some form of godliness. They turned the world upside down. Hey, you want to turn the world upside down? We need the scripture. We need to preach the gospel. I know it's an election year and oh man, we get so excited. So frustrated. So angry. I tell you what, we put Donald Trump in office for the next 100 years. We're going to have just as big a mess. All right, I ain't putting anybody down. But a man is not going to be our solution. You could put the greatest, most well-organized, most put-together Baptist pastor in the office tomorrow. Let him run for 4 years. And let me tell you this, we'll have the same messes on our hands. Why? Because you can't legislate morality. You can't force people into doing the right thing. We must preach the gospel. We must preach the scriptures. We must teach what we see in the book. Praying then that the Lord save them. And the Lord will if they're one of his elect, he will. And that is where people will change. That is where people will understand. We can't expect to bully people into good behavior. Although, man, I wish there were laws against alcohol. I wish there were laws against many of the terrible, terrible things we have in society. I picked the two easiest ones. I think preachers pick on smoking and alcohol and abortions and homosexuality because it's easy. Everyone's on board with it. If we started preaching on things like overeating, anger, and stuff like that, people get uncomfortable. But we need to consider the whole gamut. We need to consider the whole thing. I wish there was laws against sin. I wish there was stiffer punishments for the sin we've already got on the books. But ultimately, what will change your heart is exactly what changed your heart. And it is in the Lord's convicting work that we will see real change. I want to show you this before we go. They leave the area, verse 9 and 10. They leave the area. Jason gets released because there's nothing they can do about it. Paul and Silas run, verse 11. They go down to Berea is what they do. They go down to Berea. And this is what's said of the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily. Whether those things were so. A lot of religion, you see this theme. You're not smart enough to understand. Just listen to teacher. Listen to Father so-and-so. Listen to Bishop so-and-so. Listen to Prophet so-and-so. And don't look for yourself because you'll just get confused. Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to teach you what he teaches Reverend so-and-so? And everybody goes, no, I guess that makes sense. But the Bible says here in verse 11 that they were more noble because they received the word with all readiness of what? Mind. With a mind that didn't have roadblocks. With a mind that wasn't coerced or forced into sin or loved sin or anything like that. But one that was willing to have a good, honest listen. And search the scriptures daily. Why? Whether those things be so. The Christian that gets it, the person who's really going to experience change, are the people who take the Bible home and figure out whether or not that guy up there preaching is preaching the truth. Those are the Christians that are going to experience the best change. Those are the Christians who are going to be able to walk the way they're supposed to walk. When they search the scriptures daily, making sure that what they're hearing is what the book says. I think one of my favorite things about being a Baptist is that it's not automatically assumed that you're dumb and that you're not going to be able to understand the scriptures. I love that. Not being a Baptist, any one of us can understand it. The Holy Spirit helps us to interpret it. We can study it. We can learn over periods of time. Anybody can do it. King James Bible is written in sixth grade English, so most of us could follow it. Yes, there's the these and the thous, but they're important, and we've talked about that. And we will talk about that more in the future, why the these and the thous are so important in Bible interpretation. But any one of us can see. But some people fail to look. I know I've said some things. I'm sure other pastors of this church have said some things that many people were skeptical of. I don't understand. Well, why? That doesn't make any sense. You know how you can make sure? You get in that book and you look. Here's the wrong way to do it. Hey, what'd you think about that? Don't look. What'd you think about that? You know? Hey, what'd you think about that? Hey, what'd you think about that? Hey, let me call over here and let me get this information over here. What'd you think about that? You know what I always used to love to do to my pastor, and I think he liked it when I did it? Hey, pastor, I don't have no idea what you're talking about. I get it. I don't know what you're talking about. Can you give me some more verses on that? Because most often than not, being a younger person, when I didn't understand something, whose fault was it probably? It was mine. Because I didn't know. I may have come up with certain understandings. One of my biggest ones was I had a hard time getting the doctrines of grace at first. I did. I was 15, 16 years old, struggling to understand the doctrines of grace. That makes sense, don't it? Finally, one day, he explained it to me for the third time. I go, oh. See, I kept getting it stuck in my head that God looked ahead of time and saw who would be saved, and those were the people whose names he wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not the way it was. Oh. And you know what made that, change? You know what gave me that aha moment? He didn't change the way he said it. He gave me the scripture again, and that time I went home, looked at the scripture like a student should, right? Oh, I got it. What makes the difference? Going home and studying the scripture. Not the opinions of man. Not what did you think about that? What saith the Lord? What does the Bible say? I'll get into that every now and then with somebody. Well, that's, hey, you remember when you said that? And they'll go, well, yeah. I said, that was wrong. What? Well, I've got these scriptures. And according to these scriptures, that thing you said wasn't accurate. Well, you must think you're smarter than me. No, I'm a dummy, but this right here. See, this right here, limited. This right here, it's got it. See, that doesn't make no sense. What do you think about that? Oftentimes it degrades into insults and, oh, you this and oh, you that. But when you sit there and you say, all right, let me look at the scripture. No. I've had people question my preaching. And you know what I do first? I look up the scripture. Somebody did this to me when I was in Dr. Farrell's class. One of the other kids in the class questioned me. And you know what I did? I was so nervous. I questioned everything. I went down, I sat down with the scripture again. I go, aha! So now, if you do that to me today, if you're like, hey, pastor, what about this? What about? And I come back at you with a wave of scripture, I want you to know it's because my insecure self needed to go look that stuff up. And if I've got it, I'm going to give it to you, because why waste perfectly good research material? It's the way it should be. If we want to change the world, how do we do it? Not by strength of voice, not by wit or character, but by the scriptures. Pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we sure are grateful. Lord, without your word, we would be lost. We would have nothing to hold on to. We would be gullible. We would be naive. But Lord, through the study of your word, we can be firmly rooted on truth, knowing, Lord, what's right, what's wrong, what we're supposed to do. Lord, our service, our love, what worship is. Lord, out of that book is everything we need to know about life. So I pray, Father, that number one, we be in it. And number two, that it be what it is we're preaching and speaking on a regular basis. Father, let us never commit the sin of, well, this is what we believe because this is what we hear at church, or this is what we believe because that's what my mom and dad said. But Lord, instead going and saying, thus saith the Lord. Because Father, it is your word, it is your authority that matters in these things. So Lord, help us not to strive to be witty or powerful or charismatic. But Father, help us to strive for biblical accuracy. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.